You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 47 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by Nate Hateswood Moore.
I have a new persona.
The best man.
You gotta say my name. Marcel. No, and I'll actually call you real quick why I chose the best man this time. Because the last two trips that I took for major tournaments, it was with Nate to the Toronto Nationals, and he ended up in the final table. And the second time is against William Haywood, with William Haywood, and he ended up in the final table.
And
so I am good luck.
And we have William Haywood here, the Minnesota regional champion.
Woo!
Yeah,
I rename you Haywood,
Marcel. Haywood.
Well, I'm looking at his notes. It's got an A-I-G, so I'm saying Haywood.
We can choose to pronounce words the way we want.
There you go. You got it.
There's a G in there.
The G is silent.
It's better than Haywood. I was calling you Haywood last week.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Marcel can't even say my name right. So, and it's four letters. Like, it's
a lot
it's
of people sad. Can't say your name
I
right.
I know. Anyway, let's move on. So today, our plan is we're going to be breaking down the results from the Minnesota Regional and the Glendale System Open because we had representatives at both these events, and we'll discuss what the meta was in both of those events and what it looks like the meta is currently shaping into.
Rebellions are built on hope.
I want to do a quick Patreon update. I want to say thank you for everybody who is currently supporting our show and our streaming efforts. We have been streaming from around the country this season, different system open events, regionals, and it's just amazing to see all of that support. It's really humbling, and it really, you know, it feels good. And I do want to mention the Twitch Prime program. There's a bunch of people who participated in that. And pretty simple here. If you have Amazon Prime, you can connect your Amazon Prime account to Twitch. And you get one free Twitch Prime subscription a month. And just by clicking that button on the Gold Squadron Podcast Twitch page, you throw about $2 and change at us. And it costs you absolutely nothing. It's just part of your Amazon Prime package, like all the things you paid for, free 2-day shipping and all the other stuff. It's just part of that. So if you want to give away free money that costs you nothing in just a couple minutes, you can do that. If you want some help with it, I can help you. And I'm going to be posting a video here pretty soon on how to do it. So thank you to everybody this weekend who did it in the past, who's doing it. It really, it adds up really quickly. So huge thank you. All right, gentlemen, we've gotten to the main topic. We are here. I figured since we have William on, we should probably talk about his championship run and the event he was at. He was at the Minnesota Regional at the FFG Center. He rolled in. He said, Gold Squad on top, win on top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell us your secrets.
So there was 142 people in attendance. And you, at the final table, played against Alex Smittle, a great player. I believe he's out of Missouri. Am I right about that?
That sounds right. You said he had a six-hour trip, so that sounds about right.
All righty. And let's start by telling us about your list.
All right. Well, I got Miranda Downey with a TLT, Bomblet, C-3PO crew, Harpoon missile, and long-range scanners. And then she's supported by Selflessness, Ray Crew, Tactician Crew, Lorik. And Lorik's supporting the Strezra, Snapshot, Hera Crew, and the Stressbot, R3A2. That's actually in the Sheathapede shuttle.
Yeah, not the regular one, not the attack shuttle. Not as good.
So the first thing I want to ask is, like, why did you go with the Stressor rather than, like, I don't know, what is it? Like, people are all using Fenro right now. Why did you take the deviation from the Fenro to go with the Stressbot instead?
My list really doesn't need actions. I have Ray. I have long range scanners. So, I mean, Miranda, if you could coordinate slams, oh yeah, Finrao would be in there for pilot skill 11 slams. But because you can't, I just like the stress mechanics. It's one of those things, I guess, where I don't need to have a lot of actions. I just need to have more actions than my opponent.
That's cool, man. And here's one way also to look at it. Did you play against any Rebel Fenrao in the tournament?
First round I did, yes.
So I'm curious to know if you were able to stress Fenrao out. That way his ability was kind of null.
No, the guy I played was actually playing his Fenrao very smart and was staying away from Ezra, which actually ended up putting his Fenrao in suboptimal positions shoot at his other ships.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times where in that game, his Fenrao was in Strezra's arc and had opted not to use his ability to prevent a double stress.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get it. And you're like, that's fine. I guess I'll just do damage.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Like, either way, you're getting stressed, so that's fine by me.
So when you're sizing up another team, like, what are the different tactics you tend to try to, like, regarding your matches? What were the different things, like, that went through your head when you're sizing up your opponent?
The main thing is I need to understand what can kill Miranda. If you're bringing like missiles or like a high attack power, I have to be much more cautious with my Miranda. And then I gotta decide if how valuable Ezra is. If I need to kind of keep him back for late game, or if I need to just get him in there doing as much as possible before he just gets lit up.
Yeah, because Stressor does pop pretty quick.
The reason I actually ended up on this particular build is that or this variation, I guess, of this kind of same archetype I've been flying, was Biggs and Stresshog. Now it's Lorik and Ezra. And with this build, everybody has a defensive ability. Lorik's got Ray, who I could use defensively, plus the reinforce. And then Ezra essentially has a focus on defense all the time, because I never engage unstressed. And Miranda's got C-3PO, plus both of those two, Ezra and Miranda, essentially have an evade token because of Lorik. And that is very good, being able to mitigate that damage. There was a lot of times where someone would, you know, they would fire off three hits into Miranda, and I would just say zero, use the Lorik, lose the shield. Next round, regenerate it. And, I mean, that's infinite. I'll do that every round. And you won't gain anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, your damage output is a stalemate, whereas mine's just burning you down.
It'll pick away. Yeah, I get it.
And when we were talking in Chicago, when you brought the same build, I told you that I absolutely love the fact that you had Hera on Strezra, because having that K-turn available gives you so many more options compared to the Y-wing Stresshog.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just the K-turn. I mean, being able to choose the 3-hard or the 2-hard, being able to just do the 4-forward and be a little bit faster or engage a little bit faster makes the world of difference. And yeah, I mean, the K-turn, how I play it, you know, it's kind of like a defender. If you think about it, that, like, because I don't really need actions, I essentially have a perma focus on defense. There's no reason not to just do the K-turn or do the red move. Like, there's so many times in that tournament where I just gave up counting Ezra's stress. Like, even if I cleared one next round, I'm going to shoot you again. So it's coming right back.
Yeah, I think I took a picture of your match against your top 16 match, and there was only 3 ships on the board, and yet there was 18 stress tokens against yeah. the that was against Asajj and Boba.
Yeah, because Ezra was following around Asajj, and Asajj was stressing Miranda and throwing her onto debris clouds with the tractor beam. So everybody was stressed.
Yeah, that was probably one of the... I wish that would have been streamed. That was one of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen.
I mean, that match did drag on because, like, at a certain point, no, I was doing, like, maybe a damage to Asajj every other round, and he was doing nothing to me. So, like, it was just like, I got time. I'm way up on points. You have to take my Miranda down. And just... whittled away for like 40 minutes or something.
What were some of your other matchups?
Actually, I have I wrote that down. I said that my first matchup was a locked Horton with the chopper droid, so you can kind of make it unlocked. And actually, I didn't realize that about his build is that you could coordinate that chopper, which is very interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
He didn't end up doing it, but the potential was there. And then round two, I had faced an interesting rebel formation of Aaron Kraken, Thane in the Ark with a Jyn Erso crew, Garvin with Calculation, and then Tarn with an R7 droid. And when he rolled up into combat, he had like coordinated, or Kraken gave Thane a target lock, and Garvin had like 3 focuses, and with Calculation you could spend a focus, then you could just burn another focus for basically no reason and pass them one out to Thane, one out to Tarn.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I killed his Aaron Kraken with a 5 dice harpoon, but I mean they all fired fully modified 3 dice attacks and really hurt Ezra. But I was able to just they had to K turn. Ezra just 4 forwarded out of there, and I was able to just keep pressure on his other ships. The bombs worked great in that matchup. None of those ships could really position, and we're kind of just stuck behind Miranda most of the game after the initial joust. Round 3 was streamed from the Radio TCX guys, who did a great job the whole weekend. So definitely a shout out to them. But that was against a Chewbacca Poe.
Hmm.
That was interesting. Like, he brought
old actually Chewbacca or new Chewbacca. What am I saying? Nobody uses Chewbacca.
It was the old Chewbacca. And it was defensive, you know, it's old title, C-3PO, a couple other things on it. And in that matchup, he had actually brought Poe in first, trying to, you know, bait me into focusing down Poe. But I think I snapped him and blocked him and K-turned behind Poe and snapped him again and just disabled him. And in that engagement, I was still able to shoot at Chewbacca. Lorik still had Super Arc on Chewbacca. Ezra still had Chewbacca in range. And we double-stressed from the tactician and Ezra onto Chewbacca. And then we just proceeded to just pound away at it. It took a turn or two. It definitely took more than 2 turns. But we just had to focus him down, try to get Poe stressed and blocked up so he couldn't really turn around and keep shooting at us. And that ended up, once we killed Chewbacca, my Lorik was floating around at like 2 hull. He was pretty lit up. So I just made sure that Poe couldn't shoot at Lorik. And eventually got my Miranda in behind him and was able to take some in-arc TLT shots. And Ezra just chased him down. Ezra just which is keeping him stressed and double stressed. And by the time he finally gave up on healing shields and clearing stress, it was too late. Miranda was already on him.
Right. And at that point, you were already ahead. It sounds like you were already ahead on points right there.
Oh, yeah. My Lorik wasn't dead. He was nowhere in combat, just kind of floating around opposite of Poe. And yeah, I mean, Poe had a lot of work to do and no time to do it in. Let's see. That was round, what did I say, three?
Mm-hmm.
Round four, I faced Chewie Kanan. That was another defensive Chewie, which I guess was popular at the tournament. I mean, I played two of them. I don't know. Maybe that's biased, but...
So what was the Chewie built out like?
That was Lone Wolf, C-3PO, Rey, Evade title. Very tanky.
Hmm.
But his Kanan had like plasma torpedoes, fire control system, and recon specialist. But how he set up, both of them in two different corners, right? And, you know, we both had made comments, so like, oh, we both have Rey, so that'll be an easy trigger for us to remember and to utilize and whatnot. And I think that he thought I was going to hang out and bank race, and I didn't. I just forwarded as fast as we could to Kanan before Chewbacca could engage us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the round Chewbacca took his first shot was the round Miranda killed Kanan. And we just like got a snap or two on Chewbacca, got him stressed up. And it was just a war of attrition at that point. Like he could only do at max three hits. So like at the max, he could only do technically two damage to Lorik or Ezra. And it wasn't enough to just burn him down. He did damage master pretty good, but I just pulled him out of the fight. I was like, you're six stress deep, Chewbacca. I don't need to risk my Ezra and put any more stress on you. And
right, especially if you don't Miranda have six turns worth of time left in the game.
Oh, we definitely had time, but like in that amount of time, he could have killed Ezra in theory.
Right, exactly.
So I just pulled my Ezra, tried to conserve some MOV. And then that the next round, I was on stream again, and I faced a Nim Miranda, but it was an Ion Nim. He had an Ion turret, Ion bombs, still had trajectory and genius, and still had two harpoons. Miranda was pretty standard with Sabine and Bomblet and two harpoons. And I made a lot of mistakes in that game, from my asteroid to my deployment to my initial engagement. Everything was a mistake because those ions caught me off guard. Like in the initial engagement, he shot a Nim's harpoon obstructed at Ezra, and I rolled the dream, evade, focus, and then added the Lorik. The harpoon did no damage.
Wow.
That's pretty
and
clutch.
I was like, oh man, we got this. Like he just wasted a harpoon. And I was like, well, he's going to shoot the proton bomb. We're all take it, but we're all keep fire on Nim. And then surprises me and launches an ion bomb instead. And my whole force is facing the wrong way. And that was it for Ezra. Ezra did eat another proton bomb before finally going down. So he did waste a couple munitions just to take down Ezra, but... he was very good with his Nim. Once his Nim was damaged, he was out of the engagement and forced me to deal with Miranda, which Lorik couldn't. And eventually, Nim shot a second harpoon at Lorik and killed him. My Miranda killed his Nim, but suffered a range one and a harpoon from Miranda.
Mm.
And then it was like a turn or two later. Miranda shot her second harpoon at my Miranda and killed her.
So
I like that list. That's like the anti-meta list and everything because it's using ions to prevent bombs and other such things.
Yeah, yeah. It's built for the mirror match. It will win the mirror match, hands down. Because if that's two ways he can put out ion, and if you're ionized, you can't bomb unless you have genius, I guess. But still, that's Very powerful, especially when you are putting out bombs, knowing where someone's going, being able to set up those trajectories or genius bomb drops. I faced the potential of it without knowing like what I was getting into. It can just ruin a list.
So did that player like make it to the top 16 as well, or?
Oh yeah, James, I believe his name was James. If I'm terrible with names, but I believe it was James.
No, his name is Jake.
Jake. Okay.
Jake. He made it to the top. Jake and Ring? Yeah, and he had an amazing rematch with William that he lost, and he lost in the top four.
Oh wow.
Well, we're getting to that. That's a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, but just like Jake. Jake had it, man. That guy.
Jake's a great list. That list was amazing. He was flying it very well. And we actually had a lot of fun. Even though I was losing in the game, we had a good banter. And I had a lot of fun, I thought. So
I think those are the best.
I wasn't too down about losing it. Let's see. So after that round five loss, I went rounds. The final round was against an Inquisitor Rack. With Kylo Palp on his rack and proton rockets on his Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, I lined up, or he put his Inquisitor in, like on the corner that I chose, right, and kind of to slowly come towards us, waiting for that kind of long range snipe, and then Cohen for the proton rockets. He didn't get the long range shot. He was just out of range after a boost. And then my Ezra was already stressed, and he asked me for the dial, which is pretty standard. So I handed him the dial, and I looked at it and handed it back to me. And it surprised him when I dialed. He like called me out and was like, "Well, I didn't think you could do the four forward." And I showed him the Heracruit card, and he's like, "Oh man, I screwed up."
Oh no!
because his Inquisitor just one banked and got snapshotted, no actions, no proton rocket, and then I shot a five dice harpoon at him, and then some follow up shots, and that Inquisitor was burnt down in one round, and the rest of that game was just like bombing and rear arcs from Ezra to just do a bunch of damage to Rack without him really being able to do anything about it.
Because Rack can do a lot of work on his own, but when his wingmate goes down that early and doesn't really contribute anything, that's an uphill climb for sure.
So what I would know is really quickly, what kind of matchup would be the counter to this? Because it seems like in like this meta now, there's a counter to everything, which is kind of nice. Where do you think that this would fall weak to? It clearly didn't fall into anything this time, but
are you talking about his list, Nate?
Yeah, his list.
Yeah, my list. Interestingly enough, the guys had wrote up with the Dubuque guys, kind of an up and coming community. They haven't really hashed out like a squadron or anything, but they got a close group of like 10 or 12 guys that play regularly out of there, and they've only started within the year, and they're already making cuts, so they're doing pretty good. Anyways, we had drove up Friday night, stopped by the FFG Center. They had never been there, and we were pretty early. Got there maybe like 3 or 4. And I had set up and played some games. I played one of them who was running quad Wookiees, and that was really tough. They have so much health for my list to chew through that we lost. I ended up losing my Miranda. Because he just could keep that focus fire with all those arcs. And there's not really... I mean, I could only mitigate 2 damage with Lorik and C-3PO. So he was able to really put the pressure on Miranda and ended up killing her. And that was pretty much game over. I didn't have much of a way to win that. So it was nice to kind of take that lick. I got another practice game in. And that was against the quick draw 3 harpoon news.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. Those news just all target locked Miranda and pop, burnt dead. Her. Yeah. Burnt her down. And I think put her down to like, I want to say maybe like 3 health remaining, even after a selflessness and C-3PO and all my defensive, whatever I could do, I still could only get out of that initial engagement on like 3 health. And then they just quick draw just killed Miranda the next round. So actually, anything that has a lot of health, like say like double ghost or something like that, that's a bad matchup for me. Anything that has like harpoon spam, that's, or like any way to just get multiple 4 dice attacks, that's enough to burn down Miranda. So those are definitely the hard counters. Luckily, I didn't see anything like that in the tournament. So that was real helpful.
Yeah, and also when we were in the hotel room, you were pretty down on yourself when you lost, and you kept on saying there is no way you can beat a Nim Miranda. And you were saying that was one of the hard counters to your list, is a Nim Miranda. You've never beaten one before.
And that's a perfect transition. Just never played.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Oh, wait.
Transition into what?
Talking about your game against Nim Miranda. Your second.
Oh, yeah.
The rematch.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, well, let me first say that I did. We had mentioned the top 16 game where it was Asajj Bulba.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to. I basically had to trade my Lorik for most of his Boba Fett, and then try to just bomb him. And I already had Miranda out on the run, and so I basically traded Lorik for Boba. And like we said, we just stressed up Asajj. I think at one point Asajj had lost her hard threes as well. They were red.
Oh no!
And that. That was like, well, that's game. Like it's going to take you 10 minutes just to fly back around to where my Miranda can be with a couple slams. So, yeah, that was pretty much game. Once he lost those hard 3 greens and really couldn't clear stress in any efficient manner. Because actually his 3 banks were going too fast, like, to turn around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a common issue with Asajj, is if she's really bad at knife fighting. Because she wants to stay on greens, and it's too fast. Like, you end up disengaging out of combat, and your arc's pointed the wrong way, and now you have to spend your actions. But if you're, like, super-duper stressed, even double stressed from Ezra, you're putting yourself in an awkward position to clear your stress.
Oh, yeah. And at one point, my Ezra was tailing her, but she had countermeasures, so... There was no way she could turn her arc and shoot at Ezra. It just wasn't going to happen. He just followed her around, like, 4 forward through a couple debris. Didn't matter, like, whatever it took to just keep shooting at her. And yeah, eventually, like I said, just it took a long time. Wow. Wow, our Asajj is tanky. Well, it didn't help that every time I shot at Asajj with Ezra, he just got a free evade. Because I, like, stressed myself and basically self-procced his lats. So Ezra didn't do any damage. It was all just Miranda with TLTs. Let's see. Then it was the top 8. That was the Nim Miranda rematch. While Marcel is snoring away, and in the hotel room, I had actually stayed up, and it bothered me.
Wait, hold on. I was not snoring.
What?
Marcel snores. I can confirm.
No. I was serenading.
Marcel absolutely snores.
I was serenading. Okay. I was serenading with like a rough bravado. Yeah.
Lies.
Okay. All right. Anyways, I was up, and to be fair, in Swiss, I had tabled every single one of my wins. I had not lost a ship except for that Nim Miranda. And it just bothered me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I actually went back and rewatched that game with Radio TCX's commentary, see if they could give me some pointers of like what I was doing wrong. And watched it all the way through, tried to like take some personal notes about what I could do. And I basically completely changed my whole strategy of about how to approach that list. I spread the asteroids way out, to get the lanes open, and so that you couldn't ionize me into bad positions. We can kind of play in the open area. Unlike all my other matchups where I don't want to lose a ship at all, I have to just enter that matchup knowing I'm going to lose Lorik and Ezra. There's not a lot I can do about it. But knowing that, I need to make sure that they are trading damage onto Nim. And eventually, my Ezra and Lorik went down. Miranda killed... that was another dream shot. His Nim is at 3 health. I hit the first TLT, and I hit the second one for a crit. It activated the harpoon I shot at him. Did 3 damage with my TLTs to kill him.
There you go. Because the new FAQ says it's legal. Says that's how that works.
Still don't agree with that.
I know. It's weird, but as long as they're saying I can do it,
that's
I'm going
right.
to do it. but at that, and I was playing fast against Jake. He's a great player. He knew his list very well. I knew he could play fast. And Nim died at about the 40-minute mark. So we had approximately 35 minutes left to just go Miranda on Miranda. And I was at a huge points and health advantage. I think I had 3 damage cards on me and maybe a shield at that point.
Okay.
Versus Miranda, who was maybe down 2 or 3 shields. I think he still had 2 left on him, so he was only down 2 shields.
And your Miranda was worth more than his in the end game?
Oh, no, because he just nimmed Miranda. He had a 46-point Miranda.
Okay.
But he had a 4-point bid on the list, too. So it was a 50-point Miranda.
And you tracked that thing down.
And, yeah, I was prepared for this. So this was... part of my strategy that I needed to give the Miranda versus Miranda as I every round that I could to make that engage to make that fight benefit me. And like I said, I was able to give my Miranda about 35 minutes, and the regen shot of his Miranda. So many times would roll, just say, blank hit or blank focus. He would spend his focus for 1 hit. And I could just C-3PO that every single time and guarantee that I can block 1 of his TLTs. And that went on forever. I think after about 15 minutes of us doing that, and we're playing fast too, like, as I know time's not on my side. So the moment I cleared like my slam token, my dial is going down right away. Just trying to get as many rounds as I can. We probably did, in 30 minutes, we probably did 25
wow.
rounds.
Wow.
We're playing.
I just got to say this, and you're going to agree with me, William, is that Jake was such a good sport because he knew he was up on points and he had zero issue just setting dials and moving and doing and not taking the time, even though he's legally allowed. You gave him a little wink one mm-hmm. time, but not taking the time to drop a bomb lit every and set. And you know, and there's plenty of ways to slow play, and he did not take the opportunity to any of them. He engaged you. He did not slam away, and he had a few opportunities to win. I mean, he had the advantage, but he also didn't run away.
I was controlling the middle of the board. That's real important to not be able to let his Miranda just fly away to the other side. As long as I can control the middle of the board, it's easier for me to get at least range 3 on somewhere on the board that he could be at. And yeah, what you said is true. At one point, I had did my Miranda move. I had initiative. And he started to put a bomblet down. My Miranda was easily like almost range 3 of that bomb. And I kind of like, really, dude? Like, you're a Miranda player. I'm a Miranda player. I know. we both know that bomb's nowhere near close. And I mean, it didn't pressure him or anything. I was like, come on, dude. Let's play the game. And after that, he was keeping up with me. I was going, like I said, instant. Like, the moment he took his action, I'm measuring range and rolling TLTs. And he was a great player, but as you were saying, you know, he's up on points. He was up on health most of that time. So, like, what has he got to really lose from me doing that? You know what I mean? Like, and to be honest with you, he had a lot of opportunities to kill me. At one point, he had bound me and some beamed me, and I was left with, like, one hull. And I was able to, I think he blanked out on his three dice attack and then got that same just single hit on his regen. So for like two or three rounds in a row, he didn't do any damage to me.
Wow.
And I was able to recover up enough shields, and like I got him essentially down to two hull remaining and a shield. And so that's three health, right? Which is going to take me two rounds and hitting all four of my TLT shots, because he'll regen one in there, sure, but I need to hit all four TLTs. And at that point, I had two shields and one hull. I just didn't regen. I just rolled the three dice because I needed it to hit. And luckily, my Miranda survived, and I was able to... taking those risky no regen shots, I about powered it up in the last round,
right.
but I had to contain myself. I had to know that as long as I have two health, his TLT or primary can't kill me. So simultaneous fire doesn't matter, which is very interesting. But yeah, I think that game ended with like under 5 minutes left. So we spent a whole half hour just Miranda v Miranda. Healing, TLT healing, trying to drop bombs on each other. And it was honestly one of the best games. Marcel was watching it, and it was super boring to watch. Like,
interesting.
Actually, like didn't I say that was the, I think I'm going to quote myself. That was the most exciting, boring match of my life. Yeah. It was so exciting because it was all, it was boring because the moves really didn't matter. Like, what you put in the dial didn't matter. It's just dice. So it's just like watching the lotto play out. It was hilarious, and it was exciting because it was up for the final table. So it was exciting.
Is it like watching and four TLTs at the same four time. TLTs?
Yeah, it was just dice.
Yeah, for a lot of those rounds, both of us would just do a hard two and focus, and then shoot three dice attacks at each other. And then next round, we'd both hard two and both take the same attacks. Like, it was not very exciting. But I'll say that, I mean, hopefully Jay can agree with me that there was a lot of play on that. Like, us controlling ranges, finding the obstructions to kind of hide ourselves and protect ourselves a little bit. There was a lot of play in that, even if it didn't sound or look like there was. It was pretty cool. But I eked out of it. I think actually I called a couple ones on C-3PO and got them, which pulled me ahead on my health.
Especially being ahead, you know, being down on points, you know, with that Miranda v. Miranda, knowing that you needed to use every moment you had, you took those calculator risks in order to give yourself a chance to win. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Miranda, I played a lot of Miranda. I know all the Miranda tricks. So he wasn't fooling me, and I a lot of respect to the guy. He knew exactly his Miranda as well. By that point, we essentially had the same build. He was out of harpoons, and we just had just different crew members, right? Before I move on to the top four, I will say I calculated that game out. I got hit by an ion bomb, a proton bomb, two or three different bomblets, and all four of his harpoon missiles. It was pretty outrageous.
All the munitions got used.
All the munitions in the world.
Yeah, I don't know too many lists that could handle that amount of just damage and dice. But I was, like I said, I had a plan. I stuck to it. Tried to do the best I could and pulled off the win. So let's see. That's onto the top four, which is also on. That's, I got onto the stream table. So Radio TCX has the top four and final there. The top four was an Inquisitor Rack, but it wasn't a rematch. It was not the guy I faced the sixth round. And that's actually interesting because he was a friend of the guy who I faced in the sixth round.
Okay.
So he knew what happened to his friend's Inquisitor.
Wait. I gotta. I'm just going to break in a few times here.
Okay, go ahead.
So he's a patron. So much love. So just throwing that out there.
Oh no, both of them were great guys. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with both of them. I ended up buying the round six guy a beer because I was like, I'm sorry I took you out of the cut, man. I'll get you a beer. Don't be sad.
Well, I'm sure he walked over to his friend and said, hey, Ezra can do a four forward. Don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually I used that as kind of a mind game against this guy that I actually kind of motioned towards his Inquisitor to try to keep him back, to try to like have him protect his Inquisitor more than he should. And then we just all went the other way and went right towards Rack. And that kept the Inquisitor out of like the initial fight. So kind of a mind game there. But in that game, he had a great opening. My Miranda was shot the harpoon at Rack, but I was outside of range one of Lorik. I don't know what I was thinking. It was because Lorik went in for the block, and Miranda just did the same speed Ezra did instead of keeping up with Lorik, which was a big mistake. It cost me a lot of points, cost me all of Miranda's shields, and she got a weapons failure that I had to fix. Oof. Luckily, I was able to. Lorik hard-tued to not be blocked by Rack, who he blocked, right? And then I slammed Miranda and basically just slammed her right into Lorik. I was like, that's definitely range one. he shot his Inquisitor, range one, and did three hits, and I was like, whatever, selflessness, boom, no damage on Miranda. And then his Rack was gonna shoot, but had the target lock on Lorik, which is why I blocked him in the round before. And he did the calculation that even with Palp, even potentially with Rack's ability, he might only get two hits, which my Miranda C-3PO and Lorik will completely negate. And when he realized that, he actually shot at Lorik instead. I was like, Lorik's doing work here.
Yep.
Protecting my Miranda, exactly what he needs to be doing. Because he did not expect that selflessness, I don't think. But I had to use it. It was three hits. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect time to use selflessness. And I think what a... So the Rack's like moving out of engagement after that block. Ezra got hurt a little bit, and I kind of kept him away to protect him a little bit because I wanted him in game against that Inquisitor. But I got super lucky. His Inquisitor came in for the proton rocket shot on my Lorik so he could be up on points. And Miranda rolled out a perfect three hits on the first TLT. And he rolls, for some reason I healed on the first shot because I didn't think I was going to do any damage. But I rolled out two hits on the heal shot, and he rolled out three focuses with his Inquisitor out of my arc.
Oh.
So he spent like a good 30 seconds thinking about that and was like, I need to shoot these proton rockets at Lorik or I'll never kill this Miranda. So he just takes the damage and he's like, well, I'll block the next one. No big deal. The next one, I roll out, I spend my focus, get three hits, and he rolls out an average roll of blank, focus, evade. So he auto-thrusters the blank, and he's still sitting there staring at the focus, because he had saved his palp to make sure Lorik went down. Because I'm pretty sure with target lock, palp, and a focus, and five dice, it was like gonna guarantee that Lorik.
Yeah, it's gonna be all five are gonna hit there for sure.
Yeah, and I had, what was it? Oh, I had three health left. So he was even counting in, if I miracle rolled an evade, I would survive at four hits, right? So he was guaranteeing it. But so he just took another shield off the Inquisitor. Alan's like, I was like, dude, that's great for me that you did that. Like, I will give you Lorik right now. You can kill him, no problem. Like, if I can get a shield for your two shields, done. And then it was just cat and mouse with the Inquisitor, and eventually we turned back on to Rack and killed the like five or six health that was on Rack. And I just flew my Miranda away. I had Ezra just kind of toying with the Inquisitor, keeping him, you know, moving fast, avoiding those snapshots. And eventually snapshot killed the Inquisitor. Did two damage, and his Inquisitor blanked out.
Oh, no.
Which was pretty great. Pretty great. Can't complain about that.
And we got to the final.
Oh, man, the final. It was outrageous. Dion, have you even watched? Have you heard anything about it? Have you seen?
This is first news, man. I have not. Like, I went to work this morning, and I'm
okay.
This is my first experience since I came back.
I still want to talk about the final, but I don't know how much you're going to talk before I get to the part that just cracked me the hell up.
I'll jump in whenever
because I don't want to jump in ahead of time. But there was a moment I've never seen this in X-Wing before, and I've been in a lot of major tournaments. But I'll jump in when it's time.
Okay. Did you say the list Smittle was playing?
I'll say it. So Smittle was playing the Palp Shuttle with a collision detector, and that's the Pilot Skill 2 Palp Shuttle. He was flying Inquisitor. I don't know if he had any ordnance, but he was flying Inquisitor, and then he was flying the lightweight frame, advanced optics, fire control system, quick draw.
Yeah, and he had traded the Yor pilots for the shuttle to put a harpoon missile on his quick draw and be at 100 points. Which is a pretty intimidating list, to be honest with you. That can actually put out a lot of damage, surprisingly.
Well, I mean, one option that he has there, right, with quick draw, he shoots you in the first shot, right? He has a target lock on you from fire control system, and he goes, go ahead, shoot me. I'll fire this harpoon at your face.
No, I think actually... I might be wrong with this, but isn't Quick Draw's ability say primary, or is it just say an attack?
It says an attack, I'm pretty sure. Let's look that up. I could be wrong.
I always thought it was primary, but
here's somebody yelling at me if I'm wrong. I could. They're in their car right now. It says primary weapon. Sorry, person in your car. I was wrong. I don't play Quick Draw. I'm so sorry.
So yeah. In theory, I mean, most people are quick pilot skill 11s, but yeah, I mean, in theory, you can really do some damage with that quick draw. Let's see. So I engage, or I set up in the corner by his palp shuttle, and then just kind of move down my deployment zone over to just the middle of the board where quick draw had deployed, and I had taken a long range lock on quick draw. I didn't know exactly if I was going to shoot the harpoon missile at quick draw, but if the opportunity arose that was the best option, I was going to do it. And unfortunately, that didn't come up. When he shot his harpoon missile at my Ezra, my quick draw was out of range and actually had to take a range one on the Inquisitor instead. So that kind of burned my whole plan of like, I wanted to get the snapshot.
Right.
And then, the regular shot, regular range one, and then maybe a Lorik range two, get that beautiful triple stress and shoot a five dice harpoon missile, try to strip all those shields in one volley. And he definitely was cautious with it too. to prevent me from doing that. And it, so it never worked out. I ended up taking shots on the shuttle, but he K-turned or slooped, I guess, slooped his quick draw in behind my Miranda onto a bomb, and that stripped the first shield, and he lit up my Miranda that round, and she was limping away. And I think that was actually the round I got the damage sensor array.
The one where you can't perform actions until you flip the crit.
No actions.
So that means no slam.
No slam. That was really, I was like, oh man, I'm, and I can't modify my attack either. So that's also sucks, which is why I just started shooting at the shuttle. I was like, I really can't take that quick draw revenge shot. So I just was TLTing the shuttle as best I could. It's actually funny because I went back and rewatched it that his Inquisitor was avoiding the stress ranges, range 2 Lorik, and like the snaps from Ezra and Ezra's arc and whatnot. But when he got real close when he was shooting, and quick draw had, or the Inquisitor triggered quick draw's harpoon condition and did a damage to himself, and then my Lorik did another damage to his Inquisitor. So down to just 2 hull. And he was really close to my Miranda, mm-hmm. and did not want to eat a bomblet that could potentially kill him.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, no, I'm good.
And he was stressed because he pushed. So I think their fastest move is the 4-forward, which is what he did. He 4-forwarded to make sure that he was out of the bomb. And ended up on a debris without a shot for a round and came back in and shot Ezra. But I went back and watched the video, and that round that he 4-forwarded actually forgot to drop a bomb there.
Oh, no.
So he could have just, like, done anything he wanted to. So that's kind of funny, I guess. But, yeah, Lorik killed an actionless Inquisitor. With a range 1 shot, and then it was slow goings from there. My Miranda got as many shots on the shuttle to heal as possible, and then I had quick draw started taking front and back shots, trying to do damage to Ezra, because Ezra wasn't protected by Lorik from where he was at, and he was trying to snipe some damage in there to hurt my Ezra while I was chasing his shuttle. Eventually, Ezra and the Palp shuttle kind of disengaged towards the lower half of the board, where and then my Miranda and Lorik moved towards the top of the board with a quick draw in pursuit. And Smittle, very smart, he did the calculations, and he said I had like 3 shields on my Miranda. And he said, if I do 3 hits per round, I strip 1 shield, right? And sure, it threatens the return shot if Miranda does damage to quick draw. But the first round he did that, I just didn't shoot my Miranda. I was like, I don't want that revenge shot, not with the target lock on.
Right.
And then the next round, he was like, okay. And then he changed his target priority back to Lorik to try to shoot Lorik, which he could do damage to because I could only block 1 instead of 2 in that situation. But Lorik was able to protect my Miranda long enough to where I could fix that crit. Finally, it was like 4 or 5 rounds that I was trying to fix that crit.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to back it up because you missed the whole fun part of it.
And what was the fun part? What did I miss?
Well, you might have not paid so much attention to it, but the fun part was that the whole time, I mean, William was getting probably the worst dice I have ever seen in any match ever. And we have a shuttle that was at 1 shield and at one point took 2 TLT shots plus a primary shot and took 0 damage. And then this whole time he's following him around trying to get 1 damage in, which he can't get a single damage into the shuttle. And at the same time he's rolling around trying to get his crit flipped, and no dice are just working for him. and he goes from his regular basic green and red dice, and then he opens up his regional dice, and then he goes, he's like, Marcel, give me your dice, and I want to go get my dice, and then they decided to go do their, you know, share dice. And then finally, he flipped his crit, and in the same turn, he flipped his crit, and he got one damage in on the shuttle. And the room erupted, like everybody started clapping, and it was like, you know, the kind of cheer you get at the end of the game,
yeah,
when somebody wins,
right? But it was for
that cheer came out when he did one damage, so he did one damage on the shuttle, and the room just erupted, like, ah, just it was hilarious. I mean, probably wasn't funny for William, but it was hilarious for everybody else. It was just good
because Ezra took like, geez, 5 shots at that shuttle. And yeah, didn't do a single thing other than stress it a single time. It was real bad, actually. Because Ezra followed the shuttle all the way back until the kind of 2 fights emerged or converged back into the middle. Luckily, I was able to slam out of quick draw pursuit. The round Lorik died is the round I fixed that crit, and I was able to slam away. Perfect timing, I guess. But then they were shooting Ezra a bit, and Ezra, I had set up a block onto quick draw because I thought quick draw would actually want the snapshot so he can shoot 2 4 dice attacks at Ezra, and I was like, well, I'll just fly past him or block him or whatever, you know what right. I mean? And I ended up blocking him, which was great. And I guess I didn't say that. This whole time, my Miranda's pilot skill is 0, which was weird. I was actually moving before Lorik for most of that match when I was trying to fix that crit. And at one point, Quickdraw had made Lorik pilot skill 0. So then I can move Lorik first in front of Miranda, which is very weird. I was like, I kept changing who was moving first. It was very weird to fly them like that, to move Miranda first. It was screwing me all up. but actually, that pilot skill 0 really helped me in the end, because when that shuttle came into the middle of the board, my Miranda's hard 2 at pilot skill 0 put me just outside of range 2 of the shuttle, so I could take a target lock on it, and then it moved into range 2 and I shot a harpoon missile at it. The harpoon put it down to 1 health. 1 health, harpooned, and he had the stun pilot crit. That means if he bumps into something, he dies. But that would automatically trigger the harpoon, and it hurt everybody around him. and I was like, what do I even do in this situation? I was like, do I block the shuttle? I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that. And just pulled away. I actually turned so that I could basically keep Quickdraw behind me. So I could eventually drop bombs on him. I actually was not dropping the bomblets, because I didn't want Quickdraw to do that double shot. I was, like I said, I was pulling Miranda attacks. I just wasn't attacking with Miranda and not dropping bombs, because I, in my mind, that spike of a second attack would be enough to take down Lorik or just take down Miranda. You know, it was his choice of what to do about that, and I just wasn't going to give him the choice. And yeah, so I shot I didn't block the shuttle. I bombed it instead. And I was trying to convince him to palp the bomb so his shuttle would explode and take off Quickdraw's last shield. He didn't end up doing it, but he did roll a hit, which killed the shuttle, stripped Miranda's shield and Quickdraw's shield. Quickdraw shot at Miranda. And twice then, right? Because once from the shield and then once from his regular.
Right.
Man, it put Miranda down to like 1 health. I healed it. I healed a shield, sure, but it was a rough spot for me. I think how that game, the last two rounds of that game ended up, that I was able to get a snapshot on Quick Draw. So he was stressed before he could take a focus action, which basically neutered his offense. And then he was taking front and back shots because he still wanted to kill Ezra, who could, in theory, kill him. And he wanted to keep shooting at Miranda. And I think for those rounds that he was double shotting, he didn't do any damage. And I was super lucky for me. And so it ended up that Quickdraw had like one health remaining. My Ezra had one health and a weapons disabled. So I'm shooting like two dice at range one, one dice at range two, and one dice snaps. And I couldn't fix it. I was perma-stressed. I couldn't fix it. So that was real bad. I mean, if Ezra's attack dice could get any worse, that was definitely that. In the last round of the game, he had to make a decision of whether to basically be snapshotted or take the bomblet that I had set by Miranda. I hadn't set it yet, but he knew the bomblet was coming. And I think he chose to stay at range two of Ezra, so I could only shoot the single die at him and no snapshot. But the bomblet did one damage and took him down. Which is great for me, because in the second to last round, when he didn't do any damage to me, I actually spent the shield to roll a four dice TLT to try to do one last damage to Quick Draw and end it there. And I missed.
So if you would have missed the bomb right there, that would have been it. That could have been it.
Yeah, my only hope on that was Ezra just sneaks one hit through. You know what I mean? He kills Miranda, I guess, but like, and then it's on Ezra. Ezra has to do it against like Quick Draw, and I don't know about that. That's not great. But yeah.
Well, man, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. When those two fights converged, when Lorik went down and as the two shuttles came and found Quick Draw and Miranda again, at that point, it was anybody's game. Like, I didn't have an advantage. He didn't have an advantage. It came down to what shots fell and, you know, what the green dice said. And luckily, they were in my favor. So I'll take it.
And so there we go. In the end, William Hagwood raises the trophy, and then Alex Smittle is sad. We love you, Alex. He's a buddy. I gotten to chat with him quite a bit at a couple of events. Good work for getting that far, and William, congrats. So what I want to move on to now is Marcel, I'm going to let you take the wheel here. So what were some either like notable storylines or different lists that you saw out there that maybe didn't make it on camera or didn't make the cut but still did well?
Yeah, I don't know if they made it on camera or not. I'm just going to say some of the things that that I took. Again, William had a great run and he was engaged, and I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching day two. So let's start with me. I think that's like the most notable storyline, right? I did not make the cut. That's kind of no. So I actually ended up playing Dengar Thweak, and I went 4-2. I ended up in 18th, which is not bad. I missed the cut by two spots. I got the top MOV for the 4-2s. There was a 5-1 who did not make the cut. Yeah, there was really a 5-1 that I make the cut in 17th spot, and then I came in 18th at 4-2 with Dengar Thweak. And my losses, again, just going to kind of like try to restore some of my own sanity. And my losses were to Kevin Lyntz, which is no shame in losing to Kevin Lyntz. And then I lost to Aaron, who went 6-0 with a Fen and Cannon build. Which again, no shame in that one. And that one was a nail biter. It was a real nail biter. Those who follow me on Facebook will get the whole full story. But anyway, outside of my drama, my observations were rebels were everywhere. I mean, rebels were it. There was a couple scum builds. There was a couple imperial builds, but rebels were really the ones that were doing it. There was four Nim Mirandas in the top 16 cut. There was Palpatine was all over the place. So for the main Imperial list that made it, almost all of them had Palpatine except a 3X7 Defender crackshot list. Outside of that crackshot list, every other Imperial had Palpatine, whether it was on a rack or on a shuttle. There were a couple other interesting things. Quick draw everywhere. But let me go to the notable storyline. This warms my heart so much. A 4 Jumpmaster. You heard it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is one.
4 Jumpmasters loaded out with Trick Shot and Courier Droid was 5-0 and lost the 6 match to go 5-1 and made the cut to top 16 by a player who this was their first major tournament. And basically this player, I'm sorry, I forgot the guy's name. He was driving up with his friends and he says, "Hey, give me something that's easy to fly and I don't have to worry about too much stuff." They're like, "Oh, take 4 Jumpmasters and we'll put Trick Shot and Courier Droid on them." And he was 5-0 at one point. He was on the top table. So that just warms my heart. I wish I would have done that, but much love to the guy who did. And then there was also another notable storyline in a very unique Asajj Torkoal Y-Wing list that went 6-0 and made it all the way to the top 4. What makes it notable is that Asajj was not built out the way Asajj usually is built out. There was no Lats Rossi on Asajj. They actually had Dengar on Asajj. And there was no countermeasures on Asajj. It was, I think it was Skyro.
I have the list here. It was Push the Limit, Dengar, and the Shadowcaster title. And he had actually put Lats Rossi.
2 glitters on it, right?
He had
2 glitters on it, I think.
Maybe. I don't see it in the list I'm looking at. But possibly. I don't know how the points shake down on that. But he'd actually put Lats Rossi and a Pulse Ray Shield on Torkoal. So he was kind of using Torkoal as like a bigs in that, if you will.
Yeah, because Torkoal was bringing people down and Torkoal was using Lats to take Asajj's, basically saying, shoot Asajj, okay, I'll keep Torkoal around. And then he had a TLTY. So it was Asajj, Torkoal with a TLT, and TLTY. And it just worked out. I mean, he kept them in formation. He kept Asajj stressing everyone. Everyone kept on going after Torkoal because Torkoal is, I mean, who wants to be Pilot Skill 0? Nobody. And then with the Pulse Ray Shield and the Lats crew, that Torkoal just stayed alive forever. And that was just such a smart choice. I mean, this has been one of my favorite regional seasons ever. I mean, just everything is flying outside of the Nimiranda little, 3 week period where Nimiranda owned everything. Outside of that period, it's just been so much fun. That was my thing. And met some good people, got to see Tim and Carson again. And, they put together a great program. They had a steady list of viewers watching, and the only complaint that I have about this whole tournament, and this is not self-serving because I got 18th, is it just the cut was not appropriate. It should have been a top 32 cut. Whenever you have a 5-1 not making the cut, your math is wrong. I'm not so much worried about myself. Because, I mean, Kevin Lyons, for example, ended in 20th. He ended at two spots behind me. So there was a lot of really good players that got just below 16. But outside of that, the fact that a 5-1 did not make the cut, to me, just doesn't seem right at all.
And that's one of those things where it comes down to the tournament math, right? Like, you're putting more stock into MOV. And, if you brought a list that, hey, I won 5 games handedly, but it quote unquote bleeds more MOV than these other lists. It hurts list building if you're gonna have 5-1s not be able to make the cut.
That happened to me when you're in Chicago. I think I was like number 9 out of like 100 something people. I was the only one who went 501 who didn't actually make the cut that year. That was two.
Yeah, and wait. And I just got to remember, I was supposed to give a shout out. Shout out to Jonathan. So shout out.
You've been shouted.
You have been shouted. Now get wrecked.
And so lots of cool things there. Yeah, shout out to Radio TCX, who was streaming the same day I was. And where was I? I was in Glendale, Arizona, streaming the San Antonio. Other place, Glendale, Arizona, Mandalore Open, for the System Open Series. 162 players there, and the winner was Steven Gonzalez, with the runner-up being D Yoon of the Minox Squadron podcast. And Steven Gonzalez is one of the Minox and founders of the podcast. And I think a cool storyline for this is that Steven and D are best friends, and when they got to the final table, like they legitimately looked at Ian Hamp, who was the marshal, and said, "Do we have to play?" And Ian is there and he reads like the collusion clause and was just like trying to figure out what's gonna happen, and they end up playing, which is great, and they played well. I just thought it was funny, because one thing that D was telling me is like, yeah, at home we don't even play, because they played so many years together that they rather talk about X-Wing with each other than play X-Wing with each other, and they'd rather play with other people. So, just pretty cool there. I'm not going to get too much detail into those final matches, as they are recorded, and I'm sure D is going to go into them quite a bit into the Minox Squadron podcast, so you can flip on over there after you finish listening over here to listen for the final stuff. But I do want to say, all the way from round one to the final is up on YouTube already. It's in long form currently. I'm going to be chopping them up and putting them individually on our YouTube page when I get a chance in the next couple weeks. Marcel, you were talking about in Minnesota that there was a ton of Rebels. Arizona, same thing. Rebels currently are, I mean, it felt like 3-1. Like, really, if not even more. Like, it was just so much. I'm going to tell you, there was VCX. Like, here were the two lists that I saw everywhere. It was some VCX, whether it was Kanan, Chopper, or the Lothal, mostly Kanan, with Fen Rao, or Dash with Poe. Like, those were the two lists that I saw all over the place. Dash puts out a lot of damage, and Poe is a good job of staying alive. A lot of Dash play. When I was trying to pick matches, I was like, all right, we saw a Dash already. Can we get not Dash? Let's move down the line. I did see a couple of good, a couple of lists that did really well that were different, though. So, Marcel, you and I had been talking a little bit about how to make the Chemo Gila work, right? And we hadn't settled on a list for it yet. And there was a gentleman who brought Tarani Kulda, Dalen Oberos, and Thweek, and made the cut.
One second. I'm sorry, Nate. I just want to give credit where credit is due. And Tom Buiz, who I personally enjoy, because he gave me a lot of props in Ohio Regional when he took Triple Jump Masters. He said, you know, my list inspired him, whatever. But he flew three Chemo Gilas, the pilot skill, you know, the 22 pointers.
Uh-huh.
And he took that to the top cut in Chicago Regional with three Chemo Gilas and a, I think it was Thweek. So he had Thweek and three Chemo Gilas, and he took that to the top, to the cut. So he made it work. But yeah. I digress. Continue with the named guys.
My point being that that we're seeing some success with the Chemo Gilas. It's catching people off guard. He used them as harpoon carriers, and he had a 3-point bid, so was able to basically have Thweek move last and try to use him as an ace. And then a new Imperial archetype that I saw pop up, that I have not seen before, and maybe somebody can say I'm wrong. Maybe it's been out there, but, it was triple gunboats with an aggressor, But the way the points shake out, you have to have two row squadrons with Deadeye harpoon ships, the new with harpoon and long-range scanners, and then a TLT aggressor with lightweight frame. And I saw that list one round a ghost in the top. I think it was top four or top eight.
Wow.
Like, I was standing there, and the ghost, it was one turn. It just disappeared. Disappeared. It was absolutely brutal. We did get him on stream one time, and this man, he rode those harpoons hard. He was able to reload like three or four times, and just bring. He didn't do the standard like slam away to a safe place and then reload. He was just like, you know what, get as far as I can. I'll probably get shot. It's fine. I have seven health. Reload. All right, turn again. All right, harpoons again. I mean, he was wasting zero time. Excuse me, getting those harpoons off. Also, I want to give a shout out to a couple of young players that were at the Glendale System Open. I'll just use first names, but one was D's son, did a wonderful job, and then his friend Isaiah went 5-0 in the hyperspace qualifier. Was 5-0 in the both of them made day they didn't make day two, but they were able to make the second stage and missed it because they lost the last game in stage two. But seeing these kids, I mean, one is I think 12 and the other one's 11, playing at such a high level was just really amazing. And to see fathers and sons playing together, I got some warm feels. I just thought that was really cool. And lastly, another game that was on stream that was just kind of interesting the way the math works out because of the System Open series. We had 17 5-1s. And the System Open series tournament rules say that all 5-1s make the second day. But 17 doesn't break down pretty in a bracket form. So what they opted to do was 17 and 16 basically played a wild card game into the cut. And I have that game recorded. It was a great game. And these two men, these two men were also best friends. So we had a lot of like, friend rivalry happening in Glendale, Arizona, just the way the things turned out. And that was a cool game. But all those games are up on YouTube, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what comes of these regionals and system opens that have been happening lately. Cause from my opinion, just from what I was able to see, one of the most dominant archetypes right now is Dash Po and some type of VCX plus Fen Rao. And, you know, let's put even the VCX to the side. Fen Rao pilot in the Sheetapede is, I think, the Rebels right now, like, number one most represented piece. Would you guys agree with that?
I definitely agree. See that everywhere. Wait,
which one?
The Fen Rao Sheetapede.
I would say no.
Yeah.
No?
I would almost argue.
Not based on Minnesota. No.
I mean, let me say that. In Glendale, he was the most used ship.
Okay. No, in Minnesota, Miranda was definitely the most used shield ship, followed by Quick Draw. I think after Miranda and Quick Draw, you had ships that were built around Fen Rao. There was only two there were, from what I saw out of the 140, there was only two ships, two lists that brought Fen and a ghost. The other Fen Raos were supporting something else. Well, you saw a ton of Miranda. And you saw a lot of Wookiees. There was a lot of Wookiees around. There was a lot of variety. I think I saw more Poe Dash. And I actually saw one of my final match was against a Poe Dash that actually had Dash with Mangler Cannon to put more defensive things on him. So you definitely not a ton of Fen Raos. I mean, I faced one Fen Rao, and that was Aaron, who had the the guy who went 6-0.
You know, it's interesting. Touché. You take two different metas and you see this here is literally two different regions of the US and we're getting very different results there. I saw Miranda on the table in Glendale, but like there was, I think, one or two, there was two or three Miranda NIMS and only a couple of other Miranda variations. Not very many. I would say not even more than 10 out of the 100 and how many did I say? I wrote it down up here. 162. There's very few Mirandas. So interesting. Very interesting. So we if we put all this data together, like if we were to have something like worlds, like today, what do we have? I still think it's still up in the air, right? Because the results from Minnesota, you guys had a lot of players there, and I think those results are valid to compare to the System Open results when it comes to the meta stuff, and they're totally different. Like they're, I would say maybe Dash Po is the most common thing between the two. Like it was popular in both. But other than that, it seems like there's quite a bit of variations on both sides.
That's what, I think that in general, the meta is like just very varied at this moment, which I really love. And I've made like comments about this in the other podcasts as well. Just, I mean, there are people like, you know, making use of Ion Cannon, Nim, and Miranda again. Like four Jump Masters with Trickshot worked out. Just all these random things, Kimo Gila's, everything. It's really, really cool and really awesome to see all these different things come together. Everything is viable. Everything is kind of cool.
Well, everything viable? Maybe not, but a lot. There's a lot out there.
Hey,
Vengar Thweak is viable.
Five rebel operatives. Yeah. That's all I got to say. That's the sleep hit that we'll see.
All right. So here's this will probably be out. I don't know if anybody wants to tip their hand. Nope. So with all of this data coming in, what are people thinking about for this coming next regional, which I think all three of us are going to be at Indianapolis this weekend, except for William.
Sad. So, William, no.
Well, William already got his win. He can retire. He's done. Okay. He got his dice.
Yeah, I'm okay this regional season for now.
So the only thing I'll say is I probably am not playing the same list that I've been practicing for the last 2.5 months.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you change?
The disturbance in the force. And that's all I was going to say. That's it. I'm leaving it right there. Yep. Marcel?
Okay. So I am actually going to going to fly again my Dengar Thweak, even though it's janky and it's really nerve-wracking and it sucks. I won 4 matches 100-0, and the 2 that I lost were against world-class players. So that gives me a little bit of confidence that this list probably isn't as janky as I thought it was. And I also beat Nate last week in our tournament, and Nate is obviously a national-level player.
I'm okay.
Actually, I beat you 3 times with this list.
Did you?
Yeah, I beat you twice with Nimiranda, and I beat you with
Frank. Oh, that's right, because I was trying out the Nimiranda like crap and everything. I was like, oh, okay, let's try this out.
You played like crap. Okay. So,
I'm going to go down the strong list.
Just because it's such a short turnaround, I don't have time to play test anything else. However, I think I might have something even jankier and rebel-ier.
Rebel operatives, I'm telling you.
No. Not rebel operatives. Rebel.
What's jankier than 5 rebel operatives?
Anyway, I think I came across something that might be so silly that it's good. Got to play test it. So we're gonna do our next round of regionals in Adepticon in March. So I might take out that thing in March, but for Indy, it's gonna be Dengar Thweak again.
Cool. And Nate, what are you thinking about?
I'm trying to like think about a couple of different things. One, I have like my Ray Miranda build. Another thing that I saw that was interesting was what Darwin kind of did, which was I really liked his thing where he kind of did something very similar to Williams' build, but instead of Ezra, they use Fen. I kind of like that idea. It's kind of an anti, you know, it's kind of like an anti-ghost, anti-missile throwing build. But in terms of like stress, I don't think it handles stress as well. So if it went against something like William, it wouldn't really work as well. So it'd be definitely like a different kind of thing. So I don't know. It's something I haven't practiced and I'm not really used to. So I'm probably going to go with what I know.
Excellent. So I'm looking forward to this this regional coming up. I'm telling you, when I was sitting there casting, while I love casting and it's really awesome to be able to go around the U.S. and cast, that every time, every match, I'm like, I really want to play. Like, I'm just sitting there going like, I'm itching to play. And because my turnarounds are so short, I don't even have time to pick up, like, do a pickup game or anything. So I'm excited to get a couple of practice games in before this Wednesday. We have our top eight, like our championship for our league this week. That'll be another testing ground for what I might bring to Indiana. And if it crashes and burns and doesn't do what I think it might do, then I'll just go back to Kylo in two boats and do the best I can. But yeah, so anything, any shout outs you want to give William before we shut this down?
I said the Dubuque guys and there's a woman who plays there too. They helped me out, giving me a ride. And Brad actually made the cut in the Chicago regional. I think he made top 16 even with his Bombardier Miranda with Draw Their Fire Adjust.
Yeah,
And big shout out to him because we spent 4 hours in the car talking strategy, and he gave me a lot of pointers about how to get those rays on Lorik and kind of how to joust the lists that we'd been seeing in the different tournaments and whatnot. So he actually helped me out a lot finding that sweet spot. We came to the agreement that three rays, it was the sweet spot. That should be all you need for your Lorik. And getting that thought mentality actually helped in a lot of my games. I got to give another shout out to my local guys. I'm from a smaller town, Clinton. And it takes me like, I got to drive like an hour or an hour and a half to do any game stores. So I don't really get that opportunity a lot. I end up just playing with my close friends, Mitch and Tom. Just like weeknight, you know, game session or whatever. They gave me the worst nickname, and it's Cheatin' Will. Because I'd always, you know, break out the FAQ or give them some rules breakdown about their list or something. and there it is. So that's kind of just a running joke. But those guys actually helped me out a lot. Tom calls him the punching bag because I don't think he's beaten me in months, but I kind of try out different things against him, and I kind of tell him what to like. All right, now fly quad Wookiees, now fly some gunboats at me, and he's willing to kind of work with me and kind of train me up a little bit, seeing things that I don't normally get to play against because I don't get to the larger communities with a more diverse meta. So big shout out to them. It's really between them and your guys' podcast and like Reddit. That's really all I get, where I get my information from. And it's good to have all this like time and effort and even money put into X-Wing, being able to show something for it. So it's very uplifting. I can't wait to get to another tournament. I wish I was going to Indy with you guys because I would go and try to get another.
I know, because then I had to play you.
So that is selfish, Nate.
It is selfish of me. He won. Well, anyway, is it selfish of him to want to win two regionals?
I'll take that as the highest compliment.
It is.
And I will say, remember, William, you are always welcome to ride with us to any regional you ever want to go with. You make it up here, we go from there.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The next step is I got to find a nationals now. So I haven't even started looking at that. Is Gen Con still selling tickets? Have they started selling tickets?
I don't think they've started yet. I think they opened up the badges, and then there'll be the mass run for tickets and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna need help. I'm gonna need you guys' support on that because I gotta use that buy. I guess. I mean,
yeah, we got your back. We got you. All right. Well, this has been another awesome episode of the Ghost Squadron Podcast. At least we hope you think it was awesome.
Probably, this was a really fun weekend. Even though I didn't make the cut, I lived vicariously through William. I lived vicariously through William so much that I actually drank his beer by accident. So it was awesome.
That's hilarious.
And that actually did happen because I bought two beers, one for him, one, you know, we got two beers in, and I put mine to the left away, and then I put the other one right next to the table, and I was so into his game that I ended up drinking his beer.
I just remember, like, William doing something like that against Nathan Idy at, what was it, at Adepticon one year, where you just, like, chugged the beer or something?
Oh, yeah. At Adepticon, I was like, why am I in top four? And I was like, I'm going to need some beers or else I'm going to have like some sort of anxiety attack or something. I'm going to. And actually had not. I do love that they serve alcohol, but I was trying to not drink while playing. And then finally in the top match, I was like, Marcel, give me a beer. You're going to need it.
So I'm going to make a prediction.
Predictions.
Yes, we are riding in a pretty loaded car to Indianapolis. The last two times I rode with someone in a car to a major event, they have ended up in the final table. So somebody who rides with me, let me rephrase it. Someone who gives me a ride to Indianapolis will be in the final table.
Damn it, jump in my car now.
You're with me already. So
I need a ride. Jump in my car.
You don't need a ride. You're with me, buddy. You know okay. that.
So Dion, maybe you be the final Dion, table.
It's your chance.
Yeah, I'm 2 for 2, man. I'm 2 for 2.
I mean, I'm gonna bring it, man. I'm gonna bring it. I'm gonna work hard.
All right.
So you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast, including regionals and system opens. Next one is going to be actually the Indianapolis regional. We're not going to have any commentators for the first few rounds, probably, because we're going to be busy playing. And as people become available, we'll have some commentary available. The next system open, if you can get to Portland here in a couple weeks, the Portland system open registration is open. And I will be there streaming live. So if you want to come be a part of that event. What?
Can you get me a plane ticket?
I can get you an event ticket. I cannot get you a plane ticket.
Dang. Okay. If you give me an event ticket, maybe I'll do that.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
So you can watch X-Wing videos and replays of all of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just look up Gold Squadron Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and want to help us continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/GoldSquadron. Also, become a Twitch Prime subscriber to our channel if you got Amazon Prime, and just be awesome. Help us out, and we're going to just keep bringing you great X-Wing content. For Nate, William, and Marcel, my name is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron, out.
This is a good one. It was nice having you on, Will. And thanks for putting up with my snoring.
Oh, well, like I said, I think it actually helped, I'll be honest.
My snoring actually helped?
Well, yeah, because I was like, so it's like midnight, and I'm sitting in the bed, and I'm just like, I'm watching X-Wing. Like, I can't fall asleep.